What happens to a person's thinking when he rejects God? Keep listening for the next 30 minutes, and we'll talk more about this.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Good morning. Welcome to Perception. My name is Don Rule, and I speak every week on this program called Perception, a work of the Niles Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon. So what happens to a person's thinking when he rejects God? Well, my friends, nothing is more logical than believing in God. There is a passage in Psalm 77 that puts it correctly. But before we turn to that passage and read it, I want you to think about this. A group of geography students were studying the seven wonders of the world. At the end of that section, the students were asked to list what each considered to be the seven wonders of the world. Though there was some disagreement, the following got the most votes: Egypt's Great Pyramid, the Taj Mahal, the Grand Canyon, the Panama Canal, the Empire State Building, St. Peter's Basilica, and China's Great Wall. While gathering the votes, the teacher noted that one student, a quiet girl, hadn't turned in her paper yet. So she asked the girl if she was having trouble with her list. The quiet girl replied, "Yes, a little. I couldn't quite make up my mind because there were so many." The teacher said, "Well, tell us what you have, and maybe we can help." The girl hesitated, then read, "I think the seven wonders of the world are to touch and to taste, to see and to hear." She hesitated a little and then continued, "And then to run and to laugh and to love." It is far too easy for us to look at the exploits of man and refer to them as wonders, while we overlook all that God has done, regarding them as merely ordinary. For He is the one who created the ability to touch, to taste, to see and to hear, to run, to laugh, and to love. Something that man has not even come close to matching yet. Psalm 77, verses 11 through 14, says this: "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples." If Psalm 77 is true, there must be serious consequences for not seeing the truth of this passage, especially in how we think about our world. Again, I ask, what happens to a person's thinking when he rejects God? There is a passage in Romans 1 which is explicit in what happens to the mind of an unbeliever. After I read this passage, you should have insight into the world's wacky way of thinking. Here Paul writes in Romans 1, 20 through 23, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. If I cannot clearly see God and His magnificence, if I cannot understand from what has been made that there is a God, then my thinking is going to be, as Paul said, futile. My heart is going to be foolish and darkened. And while I may think that I am wise in the way that I think, yet to believers it will be seen as foolishness. Believers will shake their heads and get frustrated with the world's zany ideas." Isaiah chapter 5 is an excellent commentary on how backwards someone's thinking can become when he rejects God and His Word. Starting at verse 18, the prophet said, "Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as if with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come, that we may know it." Isaiah continued, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe, and take away justice from the righteous man." Right along with that, Jesus said, as recorded in Luke chapter 16, that God and man reverse things. The two have different values. Therefore, opposite things are abhorred by each one. Jesus said, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts." Now listen to this part. "For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." That was Luke 16:15. Let me again read that last sentence. "What is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." The opposite is also true. What is highly esteemed in the sight of God is an abomination among men. Now, let me give you many examples of the unexplainable thinking of man when he rejects the ultimate logic. Creation will become illegal but evolution legal? That is, to teach either one of these things. It is illegal for public school teachers to inform students that we have been created by God, but it is okay to teach them that something came from nothing, that order came from chaos, that life came from non-life, that one species can turn into another species. When we reject the ultimate logic, garbage will not be able to be defined. We will fine a man for dumping garbage in a public place, but we would pay the same man a huge sum of money for dumping mental garbage on the public. When we reject the ultimate logic, one kind of garbage will be condemned and another guaranteed. We force a man to clean up the filth on his property, but our law protects a man and guarantees him the right to keep pornographic filth on the magazine racks of his store. When we reject the ultimate logic, one evil will be stopped, but another will go on. You see, we must isolate and quarantine a man who carries a disease germ, but we protect the rights of freedom of circulation of those who propagate filth and who corrupt healthy minds and morals with all forms of unhealthy and immoral filth. When a person rejects the ultimate logic, children's bodily health will increase, but their spiritual health will decrease. It is mandatory that we protect our children from all manner of disease, and this is good. Yet, sexual perverts are seeking access to make our children in school aware of homosexuality. For example, several years ago, elementary school-aged children could go, and still can go, to the Klamath County Department of Health and be freely supplied with condoms, but they are warned that they should not use them for making water balloons. They're supposed to use them for what they were made for. Elementary school-aged children. This was reported in the Herald and News several years ago. When the ultimate logic is rejected, Christian literature will be forbidden, but pornography will be protected. We lawfully prohibit the distribution of Christian literature in numerous places, especially public governmental places, but we cannot control the publication and distribution of pornography. Oh yes, there are some controls, but as you know, those are loosening up all the time. If a person rejects God, thus the ultimate logic, healthy food will be demanded, but drugs will be legalized. I'm talking about narcotics. Illegal drugs will be legalized. We rise up in rage at a processor who packages his goods carelessly and thus exposes people to danger of disease. Yet many argue for the legalized sale of drugs for recreation. When a person rejects the ultimate logic, one form of fornication will be condemned, but another approved and encouraged. We will abhor rape and curse the rapist while we glorify fornication. If a society rejects the ultimate logic, criminals will be treated softly, but the righteous will be treated hard. Homeschoolers, for example, are under severe scrutiny by the government. But a man who rapes a 12-year-old girl is set free only to do it again in Lakeview a couple of years ago. Yes, if we reject the ultimate logic, animals will be valued over babies. We count sacred the life of the snail darter, the baby seal, the whooping crane, and many other species of beings, but destroy the unhatched egg of a bald eagle. And the federal government can get you on many counts. They can fine you for $5,000. They can put you in prison for a year and many other things. Some people would even prohibit slaying animals for food, whether by hunting or in a processing plant. Yet the same people are trying to force legislation that involves our government in subsidizing the slaughter of innocent little babies. And you are going to pay for it through taxes. When people reject the ultimate logic, driving will be controlled, but not alcohol. We endorse speed limits on our highways and other laws because it saves lives. There's no doubt about that. But then we guarantee the rights of people to make, sell, and consume alcohol, which accounts for more than 50% of all highway deaths. And who knows how many ruined marriages, irresponsible parents, lost jobs, and so on. When people reject the ultimate logic, their thinking really goes backwards. For pollution of the body will be stopped, but pollution of the spirit will become a multi-billion dollar industry by the same people. We work hard to clean up the air and water around us because they pollute the body. At the same time, we allow the lewd and the lascivious writers, producers, and performers who use movies, television, and the printed page to pollute the mind and disease the morals of our nation. Yes, when people reject the ultimate logic, saying prayers will be illegal. That is, in schools in particular. But atheists and communists will become professors. Prayer is legally eliminated from our schools. That is, them being said in a public way. But atheists and communists who promote ideologies that totally destroy our freedoms are made professors at our universities, and we are taxed to pay their salaries. Friends, what do you think about these things? I want to encourage you in the strongest way I can to keep listening to the Lord, for He will show you the right ways to think. If you have not been listening to the Lord by opening up His Scriptures daily and meditating upon the Word of God, well, let me encourage you to start today. And when you do, you're going to see your thinking change. You're going to find yourself abandoning some ideas that now you will see are really weird and strange. And you'll think to yourself, how did I ever accept that? And you'll find yourself accepting the right way to think. And then you'll be able to see in others when they're thinking properly and when others are not. Therefore, what Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah chapter 17 is shown to be true. For in verses 9 and 10 of Jeremiah 17, the scripture says this: the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. How true are these words, that the heart is deceitful above all things. Can you think of anything that is more deceitful than the human heart? Can you think of anything that commits greater wickedness than men and women on this earth? I cannot think of any. It seems as though men and women can do the greatest things. They can praise God, or they can align themselves with the devil and do the most vile things, of which it is ashamed to speak about, at least on this radio program. But then Jeremiah writes that the Lord is the one who searches the heart. He can test the mind, for He is the one who created the heart. He is the one who created the mind. He knows how they operate. He put the mind into the body, so He can see it. He knows how it operates. He knows how to fix it when it's not working right. But this passage also says that since He is the one who searches the heart, and since He is the one who tests the mind, then He will give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. In other words, we'll reap what we have sown. I urge you, therefore, to submit your heart, to submit your mind, and thus your life to the Lord, that He may reform you. You must die to yourself and let Him fashion you anew into the image of Jesus Christ, for you will then be a true child of God and no longer a child of the devil who thinks in the wacky ways that we've been showing. Can you see where unbelief leads? My friends, I plead with you, turn to God now. Throw away your old thinking and adopt the thinking of the Bible. When you do that, it will lead to obedience. He who has truly accepted the Scriptures as the infallible, inspired Word of God will know that whatever the Lord says is true, and will know that whatever the Lord says to do is to be done. Sometimes people will say that they believe in the Lord, but then they're not obedient to Him, or they find reasons why they shouldn't do what He has to say, or they'll find reasons why His commands have nothing to do with our salvation. The Lord Jesus Himself said, and this is recorded in Mark chapter 16, He said to His apostles before He ascended back up into heaven, that they should go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then He said this, He who believes and has been baptized will be saved, but he who disbelieves will be condemned. You must hear the good news of Jesus Christ. You must hear that He was not just a carpenter from that old city of Nazareth. But Jesus, the one that you hear so much about, He really is the Son of God. When you examine the Scriptures, that is what you will discover. He's not an imposter. He's not just a good teacher or the best prophet. He is the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the chosen one. He has come from God. And the only way to get to heaven, the only way to live with the Father in heaven, is through Jesus Christ. That's why you must believe in Him with all your heart, without holding anything back. Now, if you've gone that far, surely you want to change your life. If you go that far to examine the Scriptures to see who Jesus is, surely you must come to the point that you can see that you've got to change your life also. Don't hold yourself back. Give yourself totally to the Lord. Die to yourself. And since you're dying to yourself, there has to be a funeral. There has to be a burial. And that's why the Bible tells us to be baptized, in which we are immersed in water. So what you're doing is you're burying your old self. You're being baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. But when you come up out of the water, you are then being raised to walk in newness of life. You are then a new creature. You have been raised with Christ to live a new life. You're now a new creature, as though you're a newborn baby, innocent, pure, and free from all your past sin. And that's indeed the truth. That if you submit yourself to the Lord, He will forgive you of every sin. If you repent, He will forgive you of whatever you've done. Now, I know sometimes people will say, well, there's just no way the Lord could forgive me for what I've done. And it's true, you may have done some awful things. I'm not going to tell you that you haven't. But let me tell you something. The Bible tells us that the people who are guilty of killing God's Son, He forgave them. Do you mean to tell me that you did something worse than killing Jesus Christ? You may have done some bad things, but I don't think it's that bad. If those people could be forgiven because they repented and were baptized, then I think you can be forgiven too. That is, if you want to be. Maybe you don't want to be. And maybe you're just trying to convince yourself that God won't forgive you. Don't play any tricks with God. He knows what's going on. He knows what your motives are. And if you really want to be forgiven, you can be forgiven. I want to encourage you, friends, to call the Nile Street Church of Christ. For the preacher there and any other members, we'd be glad to show you what the Bible says about how to be saved. You can call the Nile Street Church of Christ at 541-882-5894. That's 882-5894. The Nile Street Church would also be delighted to have you worship with them. Bible classes start at 10 o'clock for all ages, and then worship is open to everyone at 11 o'clock and again at 6 in the evening. If you need any of that information again, including a map on how to find the church building, just look under or in the yellow pages under Church of Christ, and you'll find all the necessary information. Till next Sunday, my friends, sharpen your perception about what happens to people's thinking when they reject God. This has been Perception with Don Rule in the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon. Thank you for listening.
You are beautiful beyond description. Too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty enthroned above, and I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description. Too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty enthroned above, and I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe.